Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Did you survive Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I didn't even realise it was Friday the 13th until I read it in the news this morning.
Does that stuff not bother you?
Not really.
I do wake up on Friday the 13th and have a slight panic about it. I'm not particularly superstitious, but there's something about Friday the 13th that I do spend the day just a little bit on edge.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's ingrained in us from such a young age, isn't it? Was it superstition, not something in your family? Was it no one said to you, "Oh, Friday the 13th"?
Not really. I just suppose because I've reached the age of 33 and probably had many Friday the 13ths, and nothing particularly bad has happened on them. So, who cares? What came first, the film Friday the 13th or the superstition of Friday the 13th? Where did it begin?
I think the superstition goes way, way back, doesn't it?
Why? What happened on a Friday the 13th that made it this terrible day?
Well, I think it's all around the Bible, isn't it? And the 13th...
You don't know, do you?
No, I do know.
You're making this up.
You know.
Don't blame the Bible.
Right. I was just finding my notes because I'd written down some stuff about it.
Okay.
It all goes back to the Middle Ages and is rooted in the crucifixion. Okay.
Right.
So Jesus is said to have been betrayed on a Friday by Judas, who is thought to have been the 13th guest to sit down at the Last Supper.
Right.
So that's where it comes. It's not the only association with number
13. So hang on a minute. That means it's not actually the 13th that's the problem. Well, the date, the 13th, has nothing to do with it. It's just the number 13.
Just the number 13. In Norse mythology, there was also a banquet of gods, and that was ruined by its 13th guest, Loki the trickster, who caused...
Well, who invited him with that name?
And he caused the world to be plunged into darkness.
Who would invite him to the party?
And
should we invite Gary the Thief? Should we invite him up to our house?
Check the guest list. Before you invite people for dinner parties. I do that. If I'm going to a dinner party, I say, well, who else is coming? And if there's anyone, I think, oh, that's a bit dodgy. And how many people have you got coming? If they say 13, like, fuck off. I've had anywhere near a dinner party with 13 people. It never ends well. And Fridays sometimes, it's an unlucky day, isn't it? Good Friday wasn't good at all. I don't know why it's called Good Friday.
No, I suppose not. Although I usually think Friday's a pretty good day because it's the lead into the weekend, but...
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, around the world, it's not always 13. There are other days around the world that are supposedly unlucky.
Are they?
Yeah, in China, April the 4th is supposed to be an unlucky day.
Any reason?
Because the Chinese word for the number 4 sounds very much like the word for death.
Well, why have they singled out April then? Oh, I suppose it's 4-4, isn't it?
It's the fourth month, making the fourth day.
Death,
so it's like death. So that's another day I've now got to worry about.
Yep, that's the new problem we've got. That's good.
What happens if, because April the 4th, that could be potentially a Good Friday? Imagine that.
Could that work?
What if Good Friday was April the 13th?
I mean, I wouldn't care that much, really.
Am I not seeing any
doubts?
I've never
been superstitious.
Well, I do. I'm not particularly, but there are certain things that I worry about. All right, well, let's talk about the superstitions. Are there any superstitions that you think about or adhere to?
I noticed myself doing something the other day. I was at work and I was walking towards someone's house and there was a ladder rested up against it.
Right.
There was nobody up the ladder. It was just there. Someone had left it there. And I consciously walked around it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not superstitious, but I definitely made the choice to walk around it rather than go under it.
Never walk under a ladder. Never.
But I don't believe necessarily that if I do walk under the ladder, something bad will happen to me because I walked under it. I just think if I walk under a ladder and it falls, then that massively increases the chances I'm going to get clonked on the head.
So is that the only reason you walk around it? I mean, the fact that you made the choice to walk around it, not under it, there must be something in your brain that thinks, oh, don't walk under a ladder.
There must have been a strange part of me that thought, oh, don't walk under ladders. Yeah. And I didn't. But if you were to ask me about it, I'd say, no, not really. I don't really believe that. But I did it. So there's a thing.
Like I say, there are just a few that I... take note of. Friday the 13th, that always triggers something in me for the day. Not walking under a ladder. Don't put new shoes on a table.
I had that one once, years and years ago. Bought a new pair of trainers. Came back to before Mrs. Ben was Mrs. Ben, when she, back when she was girlfriend Ben.
Right.
And I went to plonk my trainers down on the kitchen table, and her mum had a right pop at me.
Quite right.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, but bad luck, innit, to put new shoes on a table.
It was, yeah. I got a bollocking of a lifetime.
It goes back to the coal mining industry in the north of England. And the idea was that when, sadly, a miner died in an accident, his shoes were placed on the table as a sign of respect. And then by extension, by doing so, we sort of see it as tempting fate or maybe bad taste. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
There's also a thought that criminals were hanged while still wearing their shoes.
That's a strange thing to focus on when you're hanging someone.
Yeah.
Oh, you know Gary the Thief? Yeah, oh yeah. Gary the Thief, yeah. He went around to dinner and he nicked all the stuff, so he got hanged. Yeah. You know what? He had his shoes on.
Yeah, so don't put shoes on the table.
It's a weird thing to observe, the fact that noticing that someone had their shoes on when they were being hanged is a strange detail to pick up on, I think.
Maybe that's a great... If you're witnessing a hanging, it's probably fairly a fairly traumatic thing to view. Maybe by noticing shoes, it's a nice distraction. So you're not hearing the crack of his neck as the trapdoor opens. It's, oh, nice shoes.
Yeah, or it's some really anally retentive executioner who wants to keep his gallows clean. Oi, get your shoes off my gallows.
I think if you're hanged, you also get an erection. I mean, the whole thing is bizarre, isn't it?
Is that true?
I don't know.
You are reaching for some strange facts today.
Never open an umbrella in the house. There's another one I'll never do.
I'm aware of that one, but I've never really... I'm sure you're going to bore me with some ancient logic now, but why, go on then. Why can't we open an umbrella indoors?
Well, there is some thought that could tentatively be traced back to ancient Egyptian times.
There we go. Did they have umbrellas?
Well, pharaohs had sunshades that weren't really like umbrellas. And most historians think the warning against sort of opening umbrellas inside might have had something to do with that. But they think it's more to do with something in Victorian England, when umbrellas, as we know them now, were sort of being invented. And essentially, it was just danger. The spring mechanism made them very hazardous to open indoors.
You so have your eye out.
Yeah, exactly. Poke someone's eye out very quickly. So just don't... If you open them in open ground, you're likely to do less damage. So I think is ultimately just that, really.
So it's about damaging your house.
Well, and people around you.
I mean, that must be the most aggressively coiled spring ever.
Well, some umbrellas, they're quite forceful, aren't they? You open them, like, fucking hell. I mean, I'm not a fan of the umbrella full stop, to be honest with you. I rarely use one. I think they're a pain in the ass for lots of reasons. One, you've got to carry it around with you. And that's just a nuisance, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And secondly, I get annoyed by other people with umbrellas because they're not aware of... I think because umbrellas have got bigger over the years as well. Like when I was a kid, you didn't have these massive... Like the big golf umbrella wasn't for everyday use. And now that everyone has the big golf umbrella, people are so fucking dangerous with these things. No spatial awareness.
None at all.
When using one of those. There are times I've been walking on the street and almost had my eye poked out.
Well, you and I are both quite tall. So, and they do have very sharp pokey bits.
Yeah.
And they are at sort of eye level for us if people are holding them up.
That's it. So they're more dangerous outside than inside, as far as I'm concerned now. I might just start using them indoors. They're far less dangerous to a tall person.
So... But it's specifically the opening of the umbrella. Like, if you took an open umbrella inside, that would be okay, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because you're not unleashing the power of the spring and the opening, are you? So it's already open.
You sound like an umbrella salesman. Unleash the power of the spring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you not tried the new Ultra Umbrella? Ultra Umbrellas, the new Powerade for rain avoidance.
I don't think you're going to get the job if you're saying the word umbrella wrong, though.
What do you mean I'm saying it wrong?
You're saying umbrella.
Any umbrellas to mend today. Any umbrellas, any umbrellas.
I've never heard that song before.
Have you never heard any umbrellas?
No. Stop singing Umbrella. It's really annoying. It's like when you say theatre.
The Umbrella. You've got to say it like that. No one says Umbrella.
I say Umbrella.
Oh, well, of course you do. That's because you
no
say...
No one says Umbrella.
They do say Umbrella. Any Umbrella.
Except maybe that song and Rihanna. They're the only two people that say Umbrella.
Did she say Umbrella? She must have sung Umbrella. See, it wouldn't have worked, would it? Umbrella.
Under my Umbrella. No, you're right. It wouldn't work. It doesn't scan.
Needed
no.
to be Umbrella. Needed. When she sat down and wrote that song, did she think, I need to write this in a really cockney way for it to scan? Or do you think she wrote it Umbrella and she started singing it? Or maybe someone just started singing it, the Umbrella, and she went, that's better.
So we've gone from our talk about superstitions to Rihanna being a plagiarist.
Not a plagiarist. She was really struggling. One day she was struggling. She was writing a song about umbrellas. And she was like, I can't get this thing to scan. I've got the tune. But I'm sort of a note out, a syllable out somewhere, and I can't fit it. There's nothing. And maybe she was talking to someone who was aware of the song, and they just start going, in the Umbrella. She went, that's it. Got it. Brilliant. So, and it was number one for about 16 years. It was a success in the air. I bet she'd sung Umbrella. It wouldn't have been the success musically that it was.
You may be onto something. Maybe that is a superstition, that not failing to say Umbrella properly can result in an unsuccessful song.
There you go. Well, I mean, what about other things? Like, when you spill salt, do you throw some? That's one thing I don't do because I never really consider it. And it's often afterwards I think, oh, maybe I should have thrown a bit of salt over my shoulder, but I never do that.
I'm never really in a position to spill salt.
Right.
I have a salt shaker.
Yeah.
And maybe I've got a little pot so I can take a little pinch of salt out.
Right.
So I don't really spill salt.
Lucky you.
You?
Yeah, well, I've often spilt salt. You get the salt shaker out, you knock it over, spills everywhere.
No, not a problem I encounter.
Maybe I'm just clumsy. Just very clumsy.
What about a black cat?
Never really worries me. Again, I probably wouldn't even think about it. It's not, that one's not really on my radar so much.
What about a single magpie?
Now, you're supposed to say something, aren't you, when you see a magpie?
Aren't you supposed to salute them?
Oh, maybe you're supposed to salute a magpie. Yeah. No, I don't. I don't do that. I should.
I suppose you don't want to look nuts, though, do you?
Would you look nuts saluting a magpie? You might look a bit nuts. Salute. Depends on how extravagant the salute is. Like, if it's just a quick one, almost... So only really you and the magpie can acknowledge it. If you're doing a full kind of military salute in the middle of the street every time you see a magpie, I think people... would question that. Yeah, longest way up, shortest way down. People would notice that.
I think so.
Whereas if you do... I like the little sort of... You know the little... When I say two-fingered salute, I don't mean that. I mean, you know the little sort of... Just for the corner of your eye almost, like two little fingers. Just raise two little fingers slightly from your corner of your eye. Little salute.
You could do that, and then you could go immediately from that to scratching that same corner of your eye. So anyone who saw what you were doing would just think you had something in your eye.
But maybe if you're someone who salutes a magpie, you want to spread the word about saluting magpies. You're looking at everyone who's not saluting that going, come on, fucking, what's wrong with you people? Salute. So you make a bit more of a deal of it to spread the word. I tell you what, I thought, should we test our superstitions knowledge?
Yeah, let's do it. How?
I've got a superstitions quiz.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of these are multiple choice. Some aren't. We'll get the ones that aren't multiple choice out of the way. I think we might have discussed these anyway. So let's see how we get on. Play along at home.
It's a new interactive feature.
Yeah. See how you get on. See how superstitious you are. Right, number one. What is unlucky to open in the house? No multiple choice this.
Umbrella. Sorry. Let me answer that one again. Yeah. Umbrella.
It says on the quiz, one word, watch your spelling. U-M-B-E-R. What should you knock on or touch to avoid some form of ill fortune?
Wood.
Do you knock on wood? I touch wood. When I say certain things, I don't, you know, when you say, oh, you know, touch wood, I haven't had any bad luck this week, or touch wood, nothing's gone wrong. I do that.
I do it. I don't do that, but I do a sort of shit joke version of it. I say touch wood and then touch my own head.
I do that sometimes. Yeah. If there's no wood around, if there's no actual wood around, then use your head.
I don't know why I do it. It's not funny. It never gets a laugh.
Well, I don't know if that's meant to be. I wonder if that started as a joke, but now people, because I do it, if there's, as I say, if there's no wood within touching distance, I touch my head and assume that substitutes as wood, because I've seen so many people do it and I've never found it funny. Perhaps I've always assumed that that's just a substitute for wood, whereas everyone else thinking, this is fucking hilarious. So have you seen what I'm doing? And I'm going, shit, right, so the head is the substitute for wood if there's not wood in touch within touching distance.
Maybe it is, who knows?
Right, next one. Monday for health, Tuesday for wealth, Wednesday the best day of all, Thursday for losses, Friday for crosses, Saturday for what? No luck at all, a stumble and fall, good luck to all, a wedding or ball. I've never heard of this one.
I haven't. I'm going to go with good luck to all.
Good luck to all. I'm wondering whether it's a no luck one, no luck at all.
What, so there's one guaranteed unlucky day every single week?
It's more likely a rhyme's going to wish luck to people, isn't it, when you think about it?
I think so.
It's not going to say, here's a happy rhyme, Monday for health, Tuesday for wealth, Wednesday the best day of all. It's got a negative in there, Thursday for losses, Friday for crosses. We've already discussed the badness of Friday and crosses where that's concerned. Saturday, we're on a downward spiral. We start with health and wealth and best day, then we're on a downward hill. It's losses, crosses, no luck at all, I reckon. But I'm happy to go with good luck if you're adamant.
You've put more thought into it than I have. I'll let you overrule me.
Okay. Next question. This is a card-playing superstition. I don't play cards, but the luckiest seat is the one which A, faces a fireplace, B, is to the left of the dealer, C, to the right of the dealer, or D, faces the door. My thinking is it's got to be a left or right thing. Surely there's got to be a lucky left or writer is brighter, something like that.
If you were to sat to the left of the dealer,
yeah,
wouldn't that meant you got your cards dealt first?
Oh, there's an actual practical reason here, maybe. Yes, good point.
I mean, that's a practical reason, but logically, when you follow that through, that doesn't make you any luckier, does it? Just because you get your cards first.
You wouldn't have thought so, because it's supposed to be random, isn't it? Shuffled the pack. Shuffled the pack, we will be right back.
So maybe towards the door. So
who gives a fuck? There is no luck.
Maybe facing the door so you could always leave, or mind you can always leave anyway. This is just bollocks, though. It's superstitions. Why are we trying to apply logic to it?
Who knows? So what are we going to do? Faces the door?
Left of the dealer.
Oh, left of the dealer. Lucky left. Right, here we go. If the head of the bed is placed towards the north, it foretells what? A long life, a short life, riches, or west travel?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing at this point.
It's got to be something to do with life. It's bound to be something to do with life, isn't it?
Why are you so sure?
I don't know. I'm just assuming that a lot of these superstitions tend to be about living longer, don't they? If you open an umbrella in your house, you'll die quicker. I don't know.
All right, then, should we go with longer life?
A longer life, okay.
By the way, just to interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
But the idea of your bed facing north.
Yeah.
Maybe this is my own shortcoming in life, but I have got absolutely zero concept of where north is.
Right.
Like, in your house right now, where you're sat, are you facing north? I wouldn't have a clue where I was facing.
I think right now, I think I'm facing east, but now I'm beginning to question it.
I don't know how you know that.
I'm just thinking where the sun rises and sun sets, and I think right now I'm pointing in the direction the sun sets.
Well, you know the setup of my little room here where I record.
Yeah.
And you know which way I'm facing. Where am I facing, Trev?
Well, I don't know where the sun comes up when I'm in your house, do I?
Well, you've been here for breakfast shows before in the past.
Yeah, but I wasn't sitting. I was sitting there thinking, why are we doing this in your house? Because the little radio station we're working at had been locked out of its building. I wasn't thinking, oh, where's the sun rising?
So you were more worried about the bailiffs than you were about the sun rising.
At the time, yeah, I was thinking, shit, this job hasn't lasted very long. So no, I wouldn't, at this point, I wouldn't know in your house, wouldn't I?
Okay, never mind, moving on.
Right. To cut bread in an uneven manner is a sign that...
Mental illness.
That you'll be in a wedding... That you'll have a great loss, that you'll get in a fight, or that you've been telling lies.
I think it has to be something negative, because I think anyone who would make a sandwich and wouldn't cut it A, directly in half, or B, diagonally perfectly, Who would make a sandwich and then cut it anything other than in half?
No, but the way I'm thinking of this is I'm not thinking about when you've made a sandwich from cut bread. I'm thinking about when you're slicing an uncut loaf. And that's very hard to cut evenly, isn't it? If you get an uncut loaf,
yeah,
I'll often have one slice that's like a doorstep but at an angle. And then I'll have a thinner slice because I try and even up the loaf then. And that only often works out. You get about half a slice because actually by evening it out, that angle doesn't work if you cut straight.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've had to cut my own loaf.
Because the servants normally do that. The helper there to cut the bread.
Because at Sainsbury's or other supermarkets are available. Funny enough, they're not a sponsor of this podcast. You can buy whole loaves and then ask them to run it through their posh slicing machine for you.
Yes, okay. So we're thinking of negative, right?
I'm thinking so.
It's going to be great loss then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. Next one. It is universally considered unlucky to spill salt. But what does it mean if both the salt and pepper are spilled at the same time? Nothing. Someone is thinking bad of you. Good luck, or your bad luck is doubled.
No, I like that. I like the first answer. It made me laugh.
Nothing. Yeah,
no. What does it mean? What does it mean if you spill the salt? Nothing. It means nothing.
Nothing. It means you've made a fucking mess.
Yeah, let's say the bad vibes of spilling the salt cancelled out by the good waves of spilling the pepper for some reason. So nothing happens.
So it cancels it out. Nice.
For some reason, yeah. So
actually, now if I spill salt, I've got to spill some pepper.
Exactly. And if you ask me why, what's the logic there? Well, I'd say, well, what's the logic that salt is bad? So,
Right.
There you go.
To put your socks or stockings on inside out is an omen that you will what? Travel soon, lose something of value, have a love affair, or receive a present?
I mean, again, I think we're trying to apply logic to things that just have none.
Yeah.
If it was get a present, you'd be putting your socks on backwards all day, wouldn't you?
I love the fact you describe it as putting them on backwards.
Inside out. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but yeah, I've never heard it described like that. But put them on backwards. The only thing I'd say, maybe travel. Here's my logic for the travel one, is that maybe it means that if when you're traveling, you might not want to pack loads of stuff, and then you'd wear your pants and socks inside out for a couple more days to get a bit more time out of it. Maybe there's a traveling link there.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm going on.
What about, I'm going to agree with you, but for a slightly different reason.
Go on.
You put your socks or your stockings, and I've never worn stockings, you put them on inside out.
Yeah.
For travel purposes. So if you're going on a long haul flight, it reminds you to take them off, put them back on the proper way, stimulate the legs, and relieve the chances of deep vein thrombosis.
Right. So it's a health reason.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the answer, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah. Considering as we're talking about omens and you're talking about a practical medical reason, but let's go with it. Travel.
Aren't these supposed to be multiple choice?
Yeah.
Was deep vein thrombosis on the list?
Well, but travel soon is the nearest we got to it. Right, next one. Back to shoes.
Go on.
If you do not give a new pair of shoes to a poor person at least once during your life, what is said to happen to you in the next world? You will walk on hot coals. You will never understand the unknown. You will be separated from your loved ones, or you will walk barefoot. Never heard of this one either.
No. I think the punishment has to fit the crime. By the way, I know charities exist and stuff, but no one ever told me that by the time I die, I have to have donated at least one new pair of shoes to a homeless person.
Well, they don't have to be homeless, just poor. Just a poor person.
I didn't know that. No one's ever told me that in life.
Well, you're learning it now, so you've got plenty of time to put it right.
I would say the punishment should fit the crime, so it has to be footwear related.
Yeah.
I think walking on coals for the rest of your life is a bit harsh.
Yeah, but we're talking about realms here where punishment way exceeds the crime.
Yeah, I know, but considering I got to the age of 33 and no one's ever told me, by the time you die, by the way, make sure you've given someone without shoes a new pair. I think I could have got to the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
And then they might have said, oh, you never did the shoes thing.
Yeah.
What shoes thing? I'd have done that if I'd known. I don't want to walk on hot coals for the rest of my life because I didn't know about something.
Well, so you make it your duty to find out these things when you're going about your daily life.
How are you going to realistically do that without getting a smack in the mouth? Well, I'll walk up to a stranger. All right, mate, you look poor. Do you want me to buy you some shoes, mate?
That's not my problem. You've come here to enter the gates of heaven, and you're telling me you've not heard of the shoe thing. Not my problem. It was your duty to find out. You could have probably gone to some sort of church. You might have found out at a church. You might have found out just by doing other charitable acts. Really, all this is a symbol that your life was full of selfishness.
Right, okay. Then
Fire up the coals!
I'm sticking by it. I think walking on hot coals for the rest of eternity is a bit harsh. So I'm going to say walking bare feet for the rest of eternity, which I still think is disproportionate to the minor crime of not donating to charity, a foot-based related charity. Right. I think it's very specific and very odd.
Two more to go. It is said that women should never whistle. Why? They will die a slow and painful death. They'll never be successful. They'll never marry a rich man, or it encourages evil spirits to visit them.
I was hoping the fourth answer would be it would confuse raunchy builders. haven't you told me some bollocks before about whistling and the devil? That's clapping, isn't it?
Well, no, there's the thing about clapping. If you clap out of tune, you invite the devil into your life.
That's it.
But there is a ghost story called Whistle and I'll Come to You, which is about... a whistle. And
is this when you go out into the woods and whistle at like 3:33 a.m. you summon some demon or something?
No, I don't think that. The film's very different to that, but maybe that's something. I've not heard that. Well, let's have a look at one of the other options. They'll die a slow and painful death. If Mrs. Ben whistled, right?
Yeah.
And let's say that you both were to die in a tragic accident.
There's a nice thought.
I'll put a more positive spin on it. You love each other so much, you decide to end it all at the same time.
Murder-suicide, lovely. That's an improvement in your book. Well, no, says more about you than me.
I'm thinking more of suicide pact than murder-suicide. You've killed her first and then killed yourself. That's where you went. I'm not letting her do it herself.
I can't have her chickening out once I'm dead, can I?
So you decide to end it all together.
Yep.
And the fact that she whistled meant that she's going to die a slow and painful death. Would you not think, oh, that's not... Maybe that's why you've murdered her. Because you want to get it over quickly. I think it's going to be evil spirits.
I'm thinking so.
Okay, final one. It's said that lightning will never strike a person when they're A, sleeping, B, crying, C, laughing, D, ill.
Laughing, sleeping, crying, ill.
Yeah. I'm ruling out ill. I don't see what difference that would make.
Is there any... I mean, if you're crying, surely you're more susceptible to being hit by lightning because water would conduct it.
Yeah, it's not large, unless you're crying buckets. I'm not sure. I think
sleeping... Just a sleeping person's not likely to be hit by lightning.
But the only thing I think about sleeping is I wonder if it's because if you're on a bed, doesn't specify that though, but if you're not touching the ground in any way, maybe you're not completing... the circuit.
Yeah, but again, we're applying logic to rubbish.
Well, there could be some scientific fact to this.
I don't think science and superstition often go hand in hand.
No, you're quite right. Okay. Laughing? If you're laughing, I don't see what difference
true,
that would
though,
make.
Is it?
I mean, you wouldn't be laughing once you've been struck, but I don't think... I've never heard them say if you find yourself out in a field in the middle of a storm, have a laugh.
Well, who's going to be sleeping in the middle of a storm outside?
Someone you haven't given shoes to. I don't know. I don't know. My instinct is sleeping.
Okay, fine. We'll go with that.
Right. Should we look at the answers?
Let's.
See how well we've done. Question number one. Monday for health, Tuesday for wealth, Wednesday the best day of all, Thursday for losses, Friday for crosses, Saturday for what? No luck at all, a stumble and fall, good luck to all, a wedding or ball. Right, so the answer is no luck at all. I think that's what we said, wasn't it?
I think so.
Right, okay. Next question, the card playing one. We said to the left of the dealer.
Yep.
Oh, do you know what? You said, what did you say, that faces the door?
I said facing the door, so it's, you know, when it's time to leave, you can go and that sort of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that was the right answer, facing the door.
See, I knew there was no logic to sitting to the left of the dealer being any better than the right, but...
Okay, right. Next one, the... where the head of your bed facing the north is. We said if
long life.
A long life.
Yeah.
The answer is short life.
Oh, whoops. We fucked that one up.
Right, next one. Cutting the bread in an even manner. We said that you'd have great loss.
Yeah.
Correct answer was that you've been telling lies.
Oh.
So there's something to bear in mind, isn't it? If you get your bread from Sainsbury's and it's been badly cut, the machine's a liar.
Or maybe to test Mrs. Ben's loyalty, I should buy an unsliced loaf and say, here you go.
Yeah.
Pass her the serrated knife.
There, see how she goes on. Yeah.
It's not quite a polygraph, but it'll do.
It'll do. Next one. It's considered unlucky to spill salt, but what does it mean if you spill the pepper as well?
I think I said they would cancel each other out, so it would be nothing.
Oh, the answer is your bad luck is doubled, mate. Doubled.
Oh, no.
Fuck's sake. So, it nails me so when to spill the fucking pepper as well.
So why is it you never hear about spilling pepper being bad luck? If it carries equal the amount of damage as salt, why is it only salt that we hear about?
I don't know. They've kept that one fucking quiet, haven't they? Jeez, why aren't we throwing pepper? If you throw salt over your left shoulder, maybe you should be throwing pepper over the right. Just be chucking condiments over each shoulder, spraying vinegar over the top of your head. Right. To put your socks or stockings on inside out is an omen for what? Yeah. We said that you might travel soon. The answer is you receive a present.
Oh, that just makes no sense.
If you don't give a new pair of shoes to someone poor, what will happen to you in the next world? We said you'd walk barefoot. That's right.
Good.
What is it unlucky to open in a house? Umbrella. We said that. It said women should never whistle. Why?
We said something about demons, we said.
It encourages evil spirits to visit them. That is it. So if Mrs. Ben ever whistles, wrestles her to the ground.
Yeah. Gagger. Does it specify why a woman whistling is more problematic than a man whistling?
I don't know. I'd imagine it's just historically more alluring.
Okay.
Next one. What should you knock on or touch to avoid some ill fortune? We said wood. That's right. And it said that lightning will never strike a person when? We said sleeping.
I bet it's laughing.
No, it's sleeping.
It is sleeping.
Sleeping is
good.
The right answer.
Logic prevails.
So we got six right.
That's not bad.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Although that might be unlucky to take that. It's a good job we didn't get 13.
I mean, lucky number 7 would have been good to get, but...
Oh, well, now you fucked it.
So, Trev, I've had some alarming news this week.
Have you? Oh, God, yeah. More bad luck.
Kind of. Basically, for the last month... my good name has been besmirched.
Has it?
It has.
By whom?
Well, I want to take you back to the last podcast when we mentioned my vaping.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you that I've pretty much quit smoking. I'm not going to pretend that I haven't had the odd cigarette here and there.
Right.
But I'd say since about the 2nd of May, I've had less than 10 cigarettes and I've been pretty much... a vapist.
Right, okay. Cafe, say that.
Yes, don't go around announcing that to the world. So, I haven't recently as well signed for a new route to do at work.
Yeah.
And I won't bore you with it, but basically I get a sort of 30-minute window in my day where I got time to sort of recharge, maybe pop to the shops if I need to, just do a little something for me, and then I need to crack on with the second half.
Okay.
And now part of me switching from being a smoker to a vapist is that I can go to the vape shop, which I only need to go to once a week, and top up on my juice.
Is that what you call it?
I think that's what everyone calls it, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Is it like a liquid then?
Yeah.
So I don't know how this works. I don't understand it.
I'm pretty good at not using it whilst we're recording. But if you've ever heard this noise on the podcast before, that's because I'm vaping.
That's your crack pipe.
That's my crack pipe. Have a quick honk on that in between links. So basically, I've been going there and... you know, occasionally, I'll try not to bore you with the details. The coil needs replacing because it burns out and then it tastes all horrible and burned. So you need to switch that out.
Right.
Boring. So I went there about a month ago and there's a guy there who's replacing the coil for me and giving me some new juice. And he said, I'm sorry, this is taking a bit longer than I thought it would. Have you got anywhere you need to be?
Right.
To which I was honest and said, oh, no, you're okay. In about 20 minutes, I need to be at the Church of Scientology. Other than that... you're good. That's fine.
Well, why did you say that?
Because it was true.
Yeah, but surely you'd give some sort of context to that. You wouldn't just say, I've got to be at the Church of Scientology because now they think you're a fucking lunatic. Wouldn't you say, surely you're in your post office livery at this stage anyway. Wouldn't they think, oh, you're delivering? Wouldn't you say, I've got to deliver to the Church of Scientology?
Well, that's factually untrue as well. I had to collect from the church.
Oh, God, what are you collecting from the Church of Scientology? What are they? Are these those sort of things they send out to pressure people?
I don't know. I don't sit there and read it. It's just, you know, the mail they're sending out, I go and collect it.
Is it weird to go to the Church of Scientology? Are they weird? Do you have to interact with anyone when you get there, or is it just left somewhere for you to pick up?
I tell you what, you get there and...
Do they film you when you arrive?
I have never been... they do film you because there are cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And the security guy, I mean, he is on his game. The moment I pull in, he's out the door.
Yeah.
And I should say, by the way, he's a very friendly guy.
Yeah.
And I did the other day say to him, you know, I was bullshitting a little bit because I had always known they were there. But I said, oh my, there's a lot of cameras here. Do you get much trouble? And he said, oh, well, you know, this is the sort of national headquarters for Scientology in the UK. So we do get a few dickheads coming in.
Right.
I said, all right. So anyway, that was my little innocuous statement. I'm in Royal Mail, you know, garb.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, oh, I've got 20 minutes and I've got to be at the Church of Scientology. And maybe you're right, because your instant reaction to that was, why didn't you put it in context, yeah, you dickhead?
Yeah.
So about a month later, my coils burn out again. I need to get a replacement. I go back in my 30-minute gap, and the girl this time, different person, serving me, says, oh, I'm sorry this is taking a bit longer than it needs to. Do you have anywhere you need to be?
Are they, they sound almost brainwashed in their questioning. Very much the same script they're keeping to. Tell me that this is, you've got to go to the Church of Scientology again.
And she says, is there anywhere you need to be? And of course, my answer, because it's exactly the same time I have a, you know, window to go to the vape shop, is, oh, I need to be at the Church of Scientology at 4.
Maybe she just wanted confirmation. It's gone round the staff room at the vaping shop. They've gone, have you seen the guy who comes in dressed like a postman? He's actually from the Church of Scientology. It's gone round. They've come in. She's gone, I'm going to find out for sure. He might have been taking the piss. And he's gone, so anywhere to be? Was it sort of that tone?
Well, you're quite close to what actually happened, really, because I then sort of jokingly said to her, oh, fuck it, they can wait. If I'm 5 minutes late, who cares? Ooh. And then she gave me a funny look, and I thought, maybe I've said something I shouldn't have here.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm only joking. I really shouldn't be rude about the Scientologists. There's more of them around here than you'd think.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then she gives me another funny look.
Oh, she won.
And I said, oh, God, I'm really sorry. You're not a Scientologist, are you? And she said, no, aren't you a Scientologist? And I said, no, I'm not a Scientologist. And she went, oh, thank God. And she sounded really relieved. And I said, what on earth made you think I was a Scientologist?
She what made you think that after you've told them you're going to the Church of Scientology?
In my mind, I'm wearing Royal Mail stuff. It's clear. It's professional. So I then said, what made you think that? And she said, well, a colleague I work with served you about a month ago. He described you to me and I recognized the description. And he said that you were going off to the Church of Scientology later on in the day.
Yeah.
So he'd warned me about you and told me not to get brainwashed by you. And I thought, my God, it's been a month. How many people has this asshole been going around telling that I'm some sort of a recruiter for the Church of Scientology?
How does he think you're recruiting? If you were recruiting, surely you would have gone in a lot harder, just like, oh, I've got to be at the Church of Scientology. You would have gone on to say, interested? And then taken out those things they have to hang on to, like those electrodes or whatever the fuck they are.
Well, he felt it necessary to warn his colleagues of me.
But you'd need to warn somebody if you weren't sure that this nutcase might reel you in.
I've spoken to a colleague of mine who used to do what I do now before the pandemic. And before, because now I just go to the main gate and get greeted by the security guard with all the mail. But before that, you used to go right up to the building and go inside. And he said they were very friendly and they offered him a cup of tea and I offered him a tour of the building. Yeah, and then he told me they brought down a very attractive young lady,
right,
to offer him a tour of the place.
Yeah, that's where he starts, isn't it?
He said, no, you're all right. Thanks anyway. But I must say, though, not to shit on Scientologists too much, they have, I deliver to some of them. I've been to the church like multiple times now. Every day at 4 p.m., I'm at the Church of Scientology. They are lovely people. They have been nothing but nice to me. Yeah. Everyone I've dealt with, they, you know, if I'm delivering to one of their addresses, they offer me a drink. Are you okay? You're too hot. Do you want this? Do you want that? They're very lovely people.
Well, I'm not surprised that they're lovely people. They're just going around their daily business. But I think the moment you expressed any interest, you'd be in trouble.
Have you ever heard the good news, Trev, of the Church of Scientology?
No. I've seen enough programs about it and I see no good news linked to it whatsoever. It just seems to breed misery and pain and bankruptcy, the amount of money you have to put into getting to the different levels of awareness or whatever they call it, awakening, yes. Whatever it is, before you know all the details of the aliens and the spaceman who came traveling or whatever bullshit they peddle.
So I've had my good name ran through the mud for God knows how long. So I think the moral of the story here, kids, is don't stop smoking. No good can come of it.
I think what you should do next time is go just get a little badge of Tom Cruise.
Or Louis Theroux.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast on a week where we... a real deep dive into superstitions this week that's taken up most of the podcast, but I think we've I think we've uncovered a lot of good information.
It's, I think so.
Very educational. Just a couple of little recommendations this week. One is a documentary on Netflix. It's called Pray Away, and we've just been talking about religious nutcases. It's quite a hard-hitting documentary, actually. It's about gay conversion therapy within the church.
Oof.
And it's quite mind-boggling. A lot of my friends who are churchgoers, it's made them incredibly angry. And I can see why. But it is quite uplifting as well, because it shows people who have seen that it harms people immeasurably and are trying to do something about it.
Oh wow. It sounds grim, but I'm quite interested to watch it.
Yeah. The other recommendation I've got this week is neither a film nor a TV show. It's actually a Twitter feed.
Okay.
And it's a Twitter feed that I have recently discovered that every day, if I'm feeling a little bit wound up, if I'm feeling a little bit low, I go on and there's something that cheers me up. It's called A Page to Make You Smile. The Twitter handle is, no, it's not Katie Hopkins before we jump in here, but it is at Hopkins BRFC21.
Okay.
At Hopkins BRFC21. Several posts a day, most of them include animals or babies. The latest one, I'm just on it now, looks like a puppy muzzling a horse.
Nice.
What more could you need? That's
exactly.
That's cheered me up already.
I haven't actually seen any thing to recommend myself this week, but I do feel it's important that I reassert myself and my status in the universe as atheist.
Right.
I'm going to recommend Leah Rimini, Scientology and the Aftermath, which can be found on Netflix. And I think, I don't think it's on Netflix, but I think you can easily find Louis Theroux's My Scientology movie. I would think they're a ripping yarn.
Well, Leah Rimini's got an amazing podcast about Scientology as well, which is...
Then I recommend that too.
Really, really interesting. The other thing I'll just throw out there, I haven't watched the first episode yet, but Ghosts is back. The sitcom. It's fucking hilarious, that. If you've never seen Ghosts, I'd go back and start at the beginning. Series 3 has just started on BBC One. It's made by the same people who do the kids' things, Horrible Histories and all that. So it is family friendly. I think it's normally on about 8:30, but it's fucking hilarious.
Okay, that sounds good. And before we end the podcast, I do feel there is a hanging question that has not been answered.
Okay, is it about Mrs. Ben's whistling?
No, and the question is, if... it is 0 degrees today,
right,
and it's going to be twice as cold tomorrow.
Yeah.
How cold's it going to be?
Right, well, last
week... You've glossed over this one, haven't you?
Well, last week I said that I would try and get hold of our The Trev and Ben podcast resident physicist, Gareth Sturdy, and
who has
an
clearly bailed on it. He's had his mind blown. That's why we haven't heard from him.
I've been in touch with him. He's actually on holiday this week, but we should have him on next week's podcast. And I am convinced that we're going to rip you a new one. Because I think the wording of the question is bullshit, and I think he will confirm that, and I think next week we are going to take you down.
I can't wait.
So there we are, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget to get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.